You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
6:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson. Oh, and we are...
I'm Frank Argano.
That's right. We're having some technical issues with Brian's setup in Illinois today, so we're going to keep working on that. Frank's going to join me here for just a few minutes while Parker and Brian try to get through these technical issues. How was your weekend?
How was my weekend? It's a really loaded question.
Well, it's good to see
you. It was fine.
It's good to see you're back in your space.
It feels so incredibly good to be back in my space, which is weird to say because where I was last week was the home I grew up in.
Sure. That makes sense.
But I've gotten to the point in adulthood where that's doesn't feel like my space anymore.
No, isn't that weird? Like, I go back to my mom's house, I'll say to her, can I use a cup? Right? Because it's not her house, right? It's not my house anymore. It's her house.
Right.
And I feel like I need permission to use the things in her house when I go there because it's actually not mine. You know, and she does the same thing when she comes to our house. She'll be like, can I grab a cup? Can I grab a spoon or kind of whatever she might be doing? But it is very much a weird dynamic when it's not your space anymore, even though it used to be your space.
Right. It just feels really good to be back home and in my own space. Like Friday after the show, I packed up my stuff and I was like, all right, we need to get home. Can't do this
anymore. I'm out. I don't want any part of this anymore. I'm completely out. I got to go back. Did you ever get any pool time? I have to ask that question.
I got 1 day.
Oh,
and
one day of pool.
It was freezing.
Oh, that's not fun. That's not fun at all.
I got some sun. It was fine. But the funny thing is, my parents got home, and I was like, hey, guys, welcome back. I don't know if you've seen the forecast now, but enjoy.
Now it's going to be like 95 and lots of sunshine, humidity, perfect cool weather.
I don't know. I see thunderstorms every day.
It's supposed to get a little dicey over the next few days, especially here in Wisconsin. We're actually going to talk about that with Mace Michael, Sevier Studios meteorologist, later on this morning. He's going to give us kind of a rundown of what we can expect over the next few days. We're talking really warm temperatures. We're talking chances of isolated storms, potentially even tornadoes mixed in there, maybe even a little bit more flooding. So we're going to get the lowdown on exactly what we can expect across the state. So it looks like maybe sounds like you're in the same boat as us here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, my parents live closer to the border, so it kind of makes sense how they're looking.
Sure.
Here, it's weird because every day it says storms, but if you actually look into the day, it's like there's some rain at 2 a.m.
right?
And then it's sunny all day. So
right. Do we have Brian? Brian, can you hear us now?
I don't know. Do you have me?
Yay, you're back. Yay.
No, but I can't. It's something's going on.
I need
an audio guy. All I'm getting is static through the headphones.
Oh,
so I
no.
can, like, I can't hear myself, and I can barely hear you.
That's a bummer. All right. Well, we can.
And as you can tell, the camera, my usual camera isn't working. Nothing is. I think I might just go back to bed. Today's not a day for me.
It's like the curse of Monday mornings. You want to keep working on that and we can handle the conversation? Or you want to
let's see if we can muddle through.
Now.
I don't know. I have been working on this for the last half hour and I don't know what's going on.
Well, you still look good this morning, so that's the important part on a Monday.
Oh yeah, I'm a ray of sunshine. That's
Okay, we got to talk about the big Chicago Bear in the room this morning, because I've got to know the Illinoisan. What are you guys in Illinois? The Illinoisans? How do I say that? Like, we're the Wisconsinites. What are you guys in Illinois?
We're Illinois.
Chicagoans. Okay.
Illinois basically is a whole different state as far as.
This is true.
Really, if you look at it.
So we have to know what your take is. It was announced on Friday, and we had this conversation on Friday if you joined us. We had talked about the Chicago Bears hopefully doing the right thing, the city, the state, the McCaskey family coming together to keep the Bears in Chicago. Doesn't sound like that's going to happen. Sounds like their new home is Hammond, Indiana. How are you feeling about that, Bears fans?
I have cooled off since Friday.
Okay.
I still stand by how I feel about it. And I'm going to focus on the thing that pissed me off the most. Let me read directly from the statement.
Okay.
Oh, please.
At the very end, the last line, it will bring Chicagoland together and deliver new opportunities to its residents and businesses.
But it's going to be in Hammond, Indiana.
But it's going to be in Hammond, Indiana.
Frank,
good
just
job,
ask
Parker.
The Giants
Thank
and
you.
The Jets. That works out for them. They're the New York Giants or the New York Jets.
It's such a different situation, though.
I know. I know how I love how everybody's trying to spin it too to go, well, listen, everybody's still going to stay in Chicago. They're still going to get all the businesses at the restaurants and
no,
the hotels and blah, blah, blah. Well, there is really nowhere to stay in Hammond, Frank. I don't know if you've been down that way in a while. Not a lot of, I think there's an Econo Lodge and there might be a couple hot sheet hotels in that area. But other than that, there's not some high roller luxury things.
There might be a Red Roof Inn somewhere in the vicinity.
And to be honest, I mean, I hate the idea. I think the McCaskeys need to get rid of the team. I also am not a fan of taxpayers having to pay for billionaires'
Agreed.
Stadiums. So I can't be mad. I'm mad at Chicago, at the mayor, for not working it out. I'm mad at – but I'm not mad that – that we don't have to pay for it, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think if you look at mile to mile, it's closer than Arlington Heights from the old spot. But yeah, it is Indiana, and I don't want to be in Indiana.
I mean,
nobody does. And I think you're...
Even people in Indiana don't want to be in Indiana.
No,
and let's be honest.
Yeah. Go ahead,
That's
Jimmy.
Why the Jackson 5 left.
This way... this is
That's
true.
Why.
This would essentially be like if the Green Bay Packers couldn't come to a deal with Green Bay and they moved him across the border to Menominee, Michigan.
Correct.
I mean, it would be, it's the exact same thing. If you're thinking about it, if you're a Packers fan and you're relishing in this moment with the Bears, think about it in that respect, that it would essentially be like having the Menominee Packers is what it would essentially be. I mean, I think this is okay. I know that you probably think as a Packers fan, I'm going to pick on the two of you. And yes, this is crazy to me, but
I would.
This is really bad for the brand of the Bears. It's really bad for anybody who supports this team. And I think this is just a bad look all the way around for the state, the city. I mean, it is just a bad look all the way around. And yeah, maybe there's a little gloating that's going to happen. Parker, what do you say on this?
Boys, love ya. Hate your Bears, though. I think it is the funniest thing ever that you may end up in Hammond, Indiana. I think it is embarrassing that they are going to end up in Hammond, Indiana. That said, I don't want them in Hammond, Indiana.
Right.
It sucks. They should be in Chicago.
Right. I mean, it's really hard to call them the Chicago Bears, knowing that the home is now Indiana. Now, has it been worked out where, like, their training facilities will be yet? I mean, is that all going to also be in Indiana?
Yeah, those are
going to
be in Iowa. They're gonna have training camp in Iowa. They're gonna play in Hammond, Indiana. They'll drive through. Caleb Williams will stop at some pizza place that he came out the other day on a podcast and said was the best pizza he ever had in Chicago.
It's Zarella's. It's really good.
Well, so he will go
can
there.
Confirm.
But other than that, nah. It's I'm as mad about this as I am about them going to Arlington Heights. I didn't want them to go to Arlington Heights either. They should have stayed in the city. The mayor should have worked harder on it. They should have been able to take over. They don't even use that the eastern part of McCormick Place anymore. Tear it down. Build a world-class stadium there. Host not only the Bears, but then concerts and perhaps somewhere down the line a Super Bowl, which has never been able to come here. There's so many places, but the Republicans in Illinois are seizing on it. Oh, look at this, is the governor that lost the Bears. He didn't lose the Bears. The Bears wanted to go. They've been trying to figure it out.
Right.
And the Bears were trying to get something for nothing. They wanted a stadium that was paid for by the people. And people are already paying a ton to go to the games. They're paying a ton for all the merch. They're supporting the team nonstop.
Paying for the renovation of Soldier Field.
Yes. Yes, yeah. They still
That was all taxpayer funded.
Right. And the Bears still owe so much money on the lease.
Perhaps they didn't want the same situation that played out in the Twin Cities, because when they built the new stadium for the Vikings, we were living there at the time. Everybody was told that it was going to be completely self-funded. Your taxpayers weren't going to go, tax money wasn't going to go into it. Guess what happened at the end? Turned out that it was taxpayer funded, and a lot of people who lived in the vicinity saw their taxes go way up, along with the businesses, the homeowners, anybody who had property in the area. And that's just the thing. It's weird to me that nobody could come to a table and actually negotiate this out. I mean, for the amount of money. And here's the other thing, too. The Bears are a much better team than they were even 2 years ago. There is hype behind them, and more people actually want to come in and watch them. Right. I remember a few years ago, sometimes the stands were almost empty because the Bears were not that good. That is not the case anymore. You would think that they would want to capitalize on that and bring more money into Chicago as a whole and, tout the businesses, the motels, all of the great restaurants, instead of send everybody to Hammond, Indiana.
Everybody's going to stay at the Horseshoe Casino in Gary.
Basically.
That's going to be the thing.
Let me read something.
Yeah, please.
I got a text from somebody who works in media in the state of Indiana. I'm just so baffled by this whole situation. I've now done I've been to Hammond, Indiana 3 times since December, and I can genuinely say with no exaggeration that place smells like if someone farted in a microwave.
Well, yes, because you know why? They also haven't done any of investigating to see if the land is toxic, because they think it could be. So all of this could be for naught. While the Bears have, in fact, in the past been a nuclear waste site, I don't think they want to build a new stadium on a waste site.
Wow. This is fascinating to watch play out. And I think if you're in Wisconsin, this is exactly what people thought was potentially going to happen with the Brewers if they wouldn't have come to some sort of deal last year between the city, the state, and the organization as a whole. But they did the right thing. They kept him in Milwaukee. For any Bears fan's sake, I wish I could say the same for what's happening there, honestly, because this is fascinating, I guess, is the only word I have as an outsider.
Frank, do you think this is just another last minute ploy? Because they didn't say they were definitely moving. They were going to move ahead with conversations, but it's not going to matter if the land they can't build on, if they're still trying to get a better deal for tax breaks from Arlington Heights, or if they're trying to get the state to just say, all right, you know what? We don't want you to leave. We'll build you a stadium anyway.
We'll see.
We will see.
We'll move it on.
All right, listen, we got to move on. Would you rather the government focus on, I don't know.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It is 22 minutes after 6 on the Civic Media Network. We hope that your day is off to a great start. My name is Jamie Martinson.
Yeah, I hope your day is off to a great start. That would be a change. Yeah. Okay. Hey, I'm Brian Noonan, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. If you want to get involved in the program, we would love to have you. Are you tired of the government focusing on coal when it comes to energy? And maybe we do something else. Maybe we focus on, I don't know, wind or solar or something else. Well, a coal plant in south central Wisconsin is expected to receive $19 million in federal funding for a modernization project after the plant was originally scheduled to retire almost 2 years ago. Now, the current administration announced plans this week to provide up to $500 million in funding to coal-fired power plants in 10 states, that along with an export terminal in California. The funding will come from a Defense Production Act, a Cold War-era law that gives the president power over national security-related industries. He has been fixated on coal since day one. Yes. I don't think he's ever worked in a coal mine. I doubt he's ever gotten his hands dirty at all, but man, he loves coal. So Columbia Energy Center is a coal-fired plant co-owned by Alliant Energy, Madison Gas and Electric, and Wisconsin Public Service. It's one of the plants expected to receive the funding. The groups have environmental groups criticize this move, saying coal is the most expensive source of energy and contributes to climate change and toxic air pollution, which we all know. I thought coal was gone.
Yeah.
Not gone, but reduced.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, when I was doing a little research into this story, I did not realize that in Wisconsin, coal still generates about 35% of the state's electricity. I guess essentially it is in some parts of the states kind of like keeping the lights on, maintaining the reliability. But obviously there is the environmental concern. We understand that it is expensive to use coal, which is why so many of these companies have started moving away from coal. And then, I mean, as you rightly pointed out, Brian, let's not even go into the environmental impacts that coal has. I mean, but it is fascinating that we are 35% reliant on coal in Wisconsin. I didn't actually think that was still a thing.
That was surprising.
Yeah. Absolutely. And obviously, coal's role in Wisconsin has been shrinking over the past couple of decades. It's been cut roughly in half over the past 20 years because obviously our utilities in this state are turning to more natural gas, solar, wind, and nuclear power. But many of those coal plants were already scheduled to retire because they were aging and they're often more expensive to operate. So, I mean, I don't understand the fascination with coal because the president also said in the Oval Office last week that as part of this Defense Production Act, it would be used to save coal plants not only in Wisconsin, but also in West Virginia, Kentucky, North Carolina, Indiana, Tennessee, Arizona. I didn't know they had coal plants even there.
Yeah, I didn't think so either.
Arkansas, Oklahoma, and North Dakota. So obviously this is an outreach kind of mission. If you notice, it's in a lot of the states where the president needs to continue his support and where he would probably like to bolster support, like the state of Wisconsin and Arizona, which happen to be swing states, if you're keeping tabs of how people vote across the country. So,
yeah, it's again, I don't know what his other than I can only assume there's a lot of money coming in from the coal industry to lobby him, but it's his not only his fixation with coal, but his adamant denial of wind power and solar power and all of the other things that seem to be, well, one, we know they're cleaner.
Right.
Two, they seem to work.
Right.
But then we'd have to, you know, we'd need money for infrastructure. We would need to make some changes that way. And he's never come out really, other than it's killing the birds. We know wind is killing the birds, Jamie. I see the wind blowing them into my house nonstop.
That's right.
So
it happens.
I know the wind is killing them. What's his end goal?
I don't know. Is it to basically placate the donors who have made their millions in coal and still donate to not only this president but also the Republican Party? That's, I guess, always where my mind goes first and foremost. I mean, this isn't a small amount of money either that the government is giving out. They're going to spend roughly $700 million to bolster the coal industry, and that includes plans to support 42 coal mines and build two new coal plants. The dollars will be matched. The federal dollars will be matched by $1.7 billion. Here it is, in private investment. Now, the U.S. Yes, yes. See, this is where it starts getting this is where it goes back to placating just a little bit. The U.S. Department of Energy listed Columbia Energy Center in Columbia County as one of those beneficiaries. As you mentioned, it's expected to receive $19 million from the government to help fund $48.5 million in upgrades. See, this is where I start questioning. Why aren't we then taking that money and putting it into more resources like the solar, like the wind, like the natural gases? If we're going to spend this type of money on coal, which we know has been dying for the last 20 years or so, why aren't we putting that into other resources?
Is it the small amount of coal miner workers that maybe?
Trying to get to the heart of the working class?
Yeah, trying to get to the people who have been left behind because the coal industry closed down. I mean, that doesn't seem... That seems like it's his dyed-in-the-wool supporters anyway.
Right.
So why then this? And it always will come back to the money.
I think that's exactly what it is. I think it's going to come down to who is investing, who these private investors actually are, and who is willing to give the biggest sum of money, not only to the GOP, but perhaps to Donald Trump and his campaign in itself.
Yeah. Oh, well, hey, guess what? When we come back, the cuts continue. The Forestry Department, how important is it to Wisconsin and the nation, and why should we keep researching? I don't know. I'm Brian Noonan, and this is Daybreak.
I'm Jamie Martinson. It is 6:29 right now, and you are listening to the Civic Media Network.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 6:35 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. A little over a half hour away or so before you'll have more chances to qualify for another week of prizes in our Accelerate Your Summer statewide, multi-state, I should say, text to win contest. So get your Civic Media app ready if you don't already have it and be listening for another word coming your way after 7 o'clock this morning, Brian. Very exciting stuff. We're going to give away
more cash. It is exciting. You sound so much better. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842 is how you get involved in the program. Do you think that research for the Forestry Department is important? And if you don't, why not? Well, the reason we are bringing this up is because we talked about, the president wanting coal. Well, the president also wants to cut down the funding for the U.S. Forest Service. It's considering the service closing more than 100 research facilities nationwide as part of a major reorganization and proposed budget cuts. The 2027 budget proposal from the administration would eliminate Forest Service research funding entirely, reducing it from about $309 million this year to zero. So wow. Not even reducing it, just cutting it completely. Well, we know he doesn't think we need national parks. He doesn't think we need forests.
No, he wants to privatize those and sell the land to the highest bidder.
That is sell them out and then drill, baby, drill and all the rest of it. And, that's the reason for wildfires, because we don't rake the forests. And why, if you can't keep your things nice, why even have them? So we're going to have to just get rid of them. It's ridiculous. The research centers, if you don't know, they study wildfire prevention, forest health, invasive species, urban forestry, long-term environmental changes, which he discounts, that help guide management of nearly 200 million acres of national forests and grasslands, which in Wisconsin, is the backbone of the state. Mm-hmm. If you go anywhere, you love to see if you've been to national parks, if you've driven around this country, you know how important that is. According to researchers, many of the facilities cost very little to operate. Now, I'm going to fund two today, Jamie,
right?
Because one in Hawaii operates under a 65-year lease that costs the federal government a one-time payment of just a dollar.
Wow.
That's right, a dollar. So put me down. I got that one covered. A Michigan facility also operates under a long-term lease that required only a one-time $1 payment. Another Michigan office rents for about $600 a month, which is less than any apartment you can find in Madison, unless you're living with eight other people. So it's another sign that this administration puts no value on anything that they can't make money from.
Right.
And that's not the job of the government. The job of the government is not to make money.
No. No.
But his priorities are screwed up.
But at the end of the day, that's what this administration is literally banking on. I mean, we know that this president has made somewhere close to $4 billion since he became president for the second time. So that's essentially what this administration is banking on. And they are basically selling out portions of the government to the highest bidder. It's what they're doing. I mean, we're just a ray of sunshine with the environment this morning, aren't we? Last half hour, we were talking about
we're getting, we're getting everything. Everything's
coal, forestry, all of it this morning. But what I worry about most is in Wisconsin, the economic impact and also the people that are going to lose jobs. Because if you want to look at this on a more, finite scale, this reorganization is going to affect about 250 employees and also close several offices and research facilities across this state. In fact, the agency is shutting down its Eastern Region headquarters in Milwaukee. That's one of the 9 regional offices nationwide that's slated for closure. And a lot of those operations will be consolidated into this new service center in Madison. 2 Wisconsin research stations, 1 in Wisconsin Rapids and 1 in Prairie du Chien, are scheduled to also close. Major facilities in Rhinelander and also the Forest Products Laboratory in Madison are not right now on the closure list. Now, the Forest Service workforce has already dropped from about 645 employees to 539 here in Wisconsin. That's a reduction of about 100 positions because of the budget cuts. There's been retirements, there's been buyouts, there's been restructuring. If you're wondering what these people do on a daily basis, right, and you love the outdoors or you're worried about the environment, they are essentially
the
people.
You mean they're not just sitting on a lawn chair out there looking at
trees? They are not. They are managing the public lands. They oversee timber sales. They monitor forest health. They fight wildfires. They conduct prescribed burns. They maintain trails. They maintain the campgrounds that we all love. And they also assist private landowners with forest management plans. That is what they are essentially doing. And by cutting these positions, you are eliminating the prospect of those things continuing to happen in the state of Wisconsin.
57,000 jobs are what's happening in the forest products industry in Wisconsin. 57,000 jobs, billions of dollars in economic activity every year just for this state alone.
Yeah.
So forest research, wildfire prevention, and sustainable land management are huge parts of this state's economy, and we're going to lose some. We're not going to lose it all, but around the country, boy, when you hear like a budget cut, okay, they hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But when your entire budget is cut,
yes,
to zero,
and it's not.
Well, what are we supposed to do?
And it's not only affecting, and that's the thing, when you talk about those 57,000 jobs and the billions of dollars, it's not just through the federal agencies. We are talking about other industries, including logging, paper production. Hello, we have lots of those plants and those mills all along the lakes in this state. Manufacturing, construction materials, and outdoor recreation. So we are talking about all sorts of different parts of our economy being impacted by these particular cuts. And let's also be clear about something. The Forest Service helps businesses make informed decisions, right? If you're worried about the environment, if you're worried about what's going to happen, we talk a lot about PFAS in this state. We talk about runoff and we talk about agriculture and we talk about manufacturing. Scientists actually study the forest health. They study the invasive species. They study the timber growth, the wildlife habitat, the wildfire prevention. And they also study how forests are adapting to changing environmental conditions. So they essentially can help develop new wood products and technologies that in turn then support Wisconsin manufacturers and mills. So you are talking about not only just shutting down research and shutting down federal jobs, you are essentially affecting many, many industries and thousands of people who make their living using the natural resources.
But we have seen, first, his distaste for science is well known. He doesn't believe in science. He all the time talks about how global warming and climate change is not real. He has no respect for anything, like I said earlier, that doesn't make him money. And so, yes, all those points you made are very good. They're perfect points. But he doesn't care about that. He doesn't care about emerging technology. He wants to make money off the technology that's already there. The old school people who are giving him money right now are the mm-hmm. ones he's paying attention to. And he has shown, even on such a small level as the Rose Garden or the front lawn yes. of the White House, he does not care about preserving anything with natural beauty. It's, I'm going to slap concrete over it, I'm going to put gold leaf on it, and I'm going to make it just gorgeous. And all that, look at all that wasted land where we could be building developments instead of, why do we need Yosemite? We don't need that. What do you need the Smoky Mountains for? We could get in there and think of the resorts we could build, Jamie. We don't need any of those things.
Well,
so
that's essentially one more step. That's essentially what they want to do with the national land. I mean, yeah. How many times have the Republicans tried to basically privatize our national parks and sell it off to the highest bidder? Where to the point they've even made hunting species of animals that are basically extinct something that you can buy a license now and do because it benefits the people with the biggest pocketbooks, right? Because those people yeah. then can say that they were able to do this. And that's what it all comes down to at the end of the day. We are arguing about facilities that literally have been operating for decades that the federal government paid a dollar for.
Yeah.
A dollar.
Yeah, I don't even need to send my dollar. That dollar is already that dollar was paid a long time ago.
Right.
And 600 when you and I know when I say this, some people get upset about, oh, why doesn't he want the military? Of course I want the military.
Yes.
But I'm saying, look at what we spend on the military. Look at what we spend on other things. And you're going to tell me that protecting the natural lands in this country, which is what makes one of the things that makes this country great. How many of us, if you travel and you're in other cities and they may be beautiful, but you always look for that green space.
Yes.
Whether you're always looking for the big park or something mm-hmm. That has natural beauty. You can admire the architecture and the hustle and bustle of a city, but you always want that land. And this country is built on that wilderness
yeah.
mentality, and it's preserving that. And you go, you know, you thank Teddy Roosevelt, because if it were up today, We wouldn't have any national parks
right.
under this group.
Right.
We'd have nothing.
And if you want to chime into the conversation this morning because you want to tell us why or why not you think the research done at forestry departments is important, please do so. 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. The other thing about this is the federal government isn't even taking into consideration the people that still work there, right? I mean, because they're saying that this is intended to improve efficiency, reduce costs, move employees closer to the lands that they manage. So it would essentially relocate some of these researchers to Colorado and then move the agency headquarters to Utah. A lot of researchers are saying they would rather leave the agency than relocate.
Yeah.
And basically, you're going to lose that knowledge then if they choose not to move with where the headquarters is going to be. You know, and labor unions who are representing Forest Service employees say that this reorganization may actually violate, big surprise here, federal rules requiring congressional review before major agency restructuring takes place. I mean, that would just be another, you know, feather in the cap of this administration and skirting around the rules of the Congress. Not that I think they'll actually do anything to stop it anyway. If you're wondering,
no, we don't need. There's nothing that is supposed to get congressional approval gets congressional approval, because when you believe that you are above the law and no one has given you any reason to think that you're not, you don't need to follow the rules. And that's where we've been for a
yeah.
long time, you know, especially the second term. But we were even seeing it more in the first term toward the end. He'll do what he wants. And then we'll have a huge fuss over it. You and I will discuss it. People will sound off. And then a couple months down the road, the courts will go, you can't do that.
Right.
And it'll be stopped. But it'll be too late.
Yeah.
You know, just like the East Wing. He demolished it before he had any okay.
Where
and then they were like,
hole.
You can't do that. Oh, guess what?
Well, I already did it.
Already did it. Big hole, big ballroom, best hole. And did you see the reflecting pool, by the way? Looks fantastic. Doesn't reflect anymore, but it looks great. Have you ever been to a Motel 6, that color pool? That's what we got. Oh, it's fantastic.
I mean, it is sad when we live in a world where Congress is essentially obsolete and we have no value in the resources that we have and no want in keeping them or making sure that we are doing something else to make sure that we have those resources for a very long time. And I think that is what is so troubling about all of this, because at the end of the day, it comes down to the highest bidder with this administration every single time.
You got to pay to play. That's how it goes. And trees don't have any money. When we come back, hey, this is a little bit of good news close to home. We will get to that and so much more. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
I'm Jamie Martinson. 6:48 right now. Thank you for joining us today. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Local news, community stories, and the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:52 right now. Thank you for joining us this morning. If you're listening in Madison on WMDX or in Wausau on WXCO or in La Crosse on WLCX, we are glad that you decided to join us this morning. I am Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. If you want to get involved in the program, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. In just a few minutes after 7 o'clock, we're going to give you the first word, Jamie. The Accelerate
Very
Your
exciting.
Summer Multi-State Text to Win contest is back. 5 more days of big prizes and your chance to qualify for the grand prize. So be listening for that after 7. I have to confess that in all my years in Milwaukee, I never went to the domes. I drove past the domes. Mm-hmm. I saw the domes many times. I heard debate about the domes. What do we do with the domes? Do we get rid of the domes? Do we fix the domes? Well, guess what? The domes made news over the weekend. They're now listed on Wisconsin's State Historic Register. The iconic Mitchell Park domes have officially been added to the State Register of Historic Places, recognizing their architectural and historical significance. The domes were designed by architect Donald Grabe and considered a notable example of mid-century modern design, featuring innovative use of concrete, aluminum, and glass.
Oh, the president was ahead of his time.
Yes. Oh, yeah, all the things. There's nothing real in there. They're just glass and concrete and gold paint. The designation comes after years of uncertainty about the future. Yes. Oh, my goodness. We've been debating demolishing the domes for years and years. I'm hoping you can tell me you've been to the domes, Jamie, so you can explain.
I have not been to the domes. My kid has been to the
Parker
domes.
Parker hasn't.
My kid has been to the domes.
I haven't even heard of the
You've
domes.
Never heard of the domes?
You've never heard of the domes? Are you even from Wisconsin? Tell the truth. It's okay. I don't know if you had to be from Wisconsin to get the job. Obviously not.
No.
In some instances. But you don't seem to have seen anything outside of the Madison area.
Well,
except
there's a lot to do here.
That tracks.
There's a lot to do.
Well, Jamie, that is no shade on Madison. There
I'm
is a lot to do.
I'm a sheltered man, Brian.
But it is a huge state with lots of other things to do.
We're going
to
get you out. And we're going to get like you exploring, Parker. Okay.
I'm not asking him to go, across the country. I'm asking him to go to Milwaukee.
You were just there for a baseball game yesterday.
Yeah. Maybe I've seen him and I didn't know it. I don't know.
Well, if you went to AmFim, you had to see them.
Oh, okay.
They're
then
not
I've
far.
Seen okay, I've seen it then.
But
I
here's
just
the
don't.
What do they look like then?
Domes.
But that's the thing. They're just, that's the other thing too. If you don't actually know what you're looking for, you don't know what they actually are, because they are just basically, if you're looking on the horizon, just three bumps on the horizon, essentially what they are. But they're part of the conservatory there. And there are three unique domes. One is a tropical dome, another is the forest dome, and another is a show dome that basically has rotating exhibits and seasonal displays. Now, my kid has been over there when he was going to Milwaukee Area Technical College. He actually did a full piece on the domes and was inside of them because there was a special show going on, and then was in the other three. He says they're very cool. Now, I don't tend to go to anything that's a conservatory just because I have allergies. Then you put me in an enclosed place with flowers and plants, and you might as well put me in, like, just give me, like, some sort of allergy medicine drip, because I'm essentially just not in a good spot after that. Now, I love them. I think they're beautiful. I just have to be very selective. So I have not been to these particular domes. But, the fact that we're going to preserve these after years of discussion, because, Parker, even I know the years of discussion, and I've only been here for 8-9 years now. The fact that we are preserving these is kind of cool, right? Like, it's kind of cool that they're going to preserve them as a historical landmark.
And that's the greatest thing about these historical landmarks. I don't like them. I like to destroy and rebuild. But the fact that you can, now they're there, and you know, okay, we're not going to get rid of them, so we're going to just continue to maintain them and maybe do some improvements on them, but you can't change the basic structure. You can't change the appearance. It's one of those things that there's been a lot of discussion, like we said, but it makes Milwaukee unique. It's one of those things that you don't want to lose in your town.
Yes.
If you have it, you want to keep it, you want it to thrive, and maybe putting it on the National Historic List of Historic Places in Wisconsin is going to draw some more people. So the revenue is going to go up to help with the upkeep and all of that.
I mean, these essentially support tourism. They provide educational opportunities for students and families, all contributing to the economy. And there are planned upgrades. They want to put some sort of cafe now that the domes are on the historical historical landmark. They want to have some sort of cafe, maybe even a children's garden, which could actually bring in more people and even more appeal year round. So I'm always for when we can take something that is old, that is serving its purpose, but maybe needs a little bit more work, and we can preserve that in some way, because obviously something built in the 1960s has a little history too. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we try to get rid of so much history all of the time. I love when we can preserve it in places like the Mitchell Park domes.
Yeah, it's not going the way of old downtown Milwaukee. What did they call that that exhibit that they tore out? last week.
Yeah, I don't remember. I know what you're talking about. I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact name either. But now, if you want to go to the Show Dome between now and September 7th, Glass Under Glass features stained glass and hand-painted artwork.
Ooh.
So that might be fun.
Very nice.
We're big fans of stained glass here.
I do love unique artwork. So I'm always about seeing unique artwork. And apparently, I've got to get to Milwaukee. The kid called me this weekend. He's like, are you ever going to come visit me in Milwaukee again?
It's far away. Ask Parker. It's far. You don't want to go.
It's very far.
Milwaukee.
It's a very long walk, Jamie.
What, do you got to get a quarter of a tank of gas? That's crazy. No, you can't go. Milwaukee's the other side of the earth.
Gas down to $3.89 in places in Madison right now. Ooh, we could really do some traveling now.
Yeah, that's it, Parker. Maybe you get all the way out to De Pere, Parker. That'd be great.
I don't know about that.
We're getting crazy now.
Rain it in. It's getting crazy. Go to New Glarus. All right, when we come back, it's your first word of the text to win contest, so be ready. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
I'm David Martinson, 6:59 right now on the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.